My name's Sam, and this is Pilgrim Pit Stop, a podcast about following Jesus through life's highs and lows. Most of the episodes are conversations about following this incredible, demanding, forgiving man. Some are adventures I've had following him, and others are reflections on the Bible, faith, and spirituality. Why not subscribe and join me on the journey? Here's a little clip of what's coming up in today's episode.
Depths of despair and pain and suffering, and also the privilege of entering into other people's pain and suffering and despair.
All right, let's go.
Ready to go?
Yep.
All right, we need to sort of hold it like that. Yeah, I should be okay. All right. Hello, welcome back to Pilgrim Pit Stop Podcast. I'm recording this on the 18th of March, 2021, and I am with my brother, Thomas Thorogood. How are you, sir?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah, I rate that. You don't have to say, I'm well, thanks.
That's true, isn't it? We always say, I'm well. I'm actually not particularly. I'm a little, we'll get into that. Anyway,
sure.
Do you want to paint a picture of where we are at the moment? Because we're going for a walk. It's quite a nice Thursday afternoon. Whereabouts are we?
Well, we are in the Avon Gorge at the moment, aren't we? Heading towards Wales, I guess, away from the Clifton Suspension Bridge, which is fairly close to where we live in Bristol, where our parents live.
Yeah, where we're staying
and
at the moment.
We're living with our parents at the moment, aren't we? Due to certain happenings that have occurred in 2020/2021.
Yeah, I mean, so we're recording this late March. Obviously, this will be going out in a few months' time, so I'm sure the situation will be... Well, I hope the situation will be slightly better when you're listening to this. But right now, we're just at the kind of tail end of the real, like, high-level lockdown that has lasted since Christmas, I think, hasn't it, in Britain?
Yeah.
It's been a long haul. Anyway, Thomas, you're about to head back out to Eastbourne, aren't you, where you actually live and work. And yep. It's kind of your primary base. So I just thought I would, before you leave, I wanted to record an episode with you because you know, this has been a tough time, hasn't it? This last year has been really tough for so many people, and it's been tough for me personally. It's been a time of cancelled plans and just really struggling to kind of understand like where I'm supposed to be going, and it's been a real challenge. And I wanted to record an episode about following Jesus in the wilderness, because I think for me personally, I don't know about you, but especially the last 6 months have felt like a bit of a wilderness season for me. Do you kind of share those thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I've been very fortunate in some ways that I was able to start my internship with Speak Life, making Christian sort of videos and things like that in Eastbourne. I was able to start that during this pandemic time, and it's probably something that I wouldn't have applied for if it weren't for the pandemic and all my other plans being switched up. So I think I'm very fortunate in that respect, and that I can return in a few days, actually. But nonetheless, the not being able to meet up with people and the seeing what impact it has had, both on people who have lost loved ones through COVID, and also the consequences of the restrictions that have been required in order to deal with COVID. Yeah. So it absolutely a wilderness, I think, is probably a great word to describe it.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, yeah, for me, it's just been this sense of, I, you know, had so many plans for the last sort of six, 7 months, really around travel. It's something that I am very keen to do. Had planned to travel to Israel at the end of 2020 to study a short course in comparative theology, and that got cancelled. And then I'd planned to travel into Europe, do some volunteering with different communities and organisations. Kind of January, had my ferry booked. That got postponed to March, and I've had to postpone it again to May. And, you know, part of this is I almost feel guilty feeling bad, because my life's great, like, in so many ways, so many material ways. I have so much. You know, I'm very privileged, have a place to call home, and, you know, enough food to eat, and family and friends who love me and who I love. And I'm genuinely so blessed, and I'm so I'm so supported. But equally, this has been a really tough time, really testing time. And I think the last 6 months have been probably the hardest of my adult life. And I think I'm just really keen to kind of explore this, because we were talking actually before we started recording about how often when someone tells a Christian testimony of how Jesus has entered their life, it often kind of ends pretty soon after, you know, Jesus, I encountered Jesus, I was born again, and this has transformed my life, which is beautiful. And that's, you know, there's so many testimonies like that. But actually, and our testimonies are, I'm sure, similar to that. You know, he has transformed our life and turned things around in an incredible way. But also, you know, Jesus never says life's going to be easy with me, or that there aren't going to be challenges. In fact, he talks about, you know, carrying our cross. That's kind of the image he gives us of discipleship. Do you have any kind of reflections on following Jesus through the tough times of life?
Yeah, well, I think you've hit it really well there, because I mean, as you say, you know, it's very easy in this time. Yes,
it's a bit muddy here.
Oh, where? Sorry. This is a tough part.
Yeah, this
of the
is a
walk.
Tough part of the walk. Wait a second. Right, you all right?
That was a complicated.
That was a quagmire. All right, we're through.
Why didn't you choose some more level ground to record this? But yeah, no, so it's very easy, I think, actually, in our circles to be like, and there is some truth in this. Yes, what we are struggling with is nothing compared to what other Christians are facing. I mean, when you look at other countries and what Christians are going through because of their faith, and just the persecution and actually not being able to meet up as church is the norm.
Right.
You know, we're experiencing it for a year, but that is the norm in a lot of the world and has been throughout history. So, on the one hand, there is a truth in, yeah, what we are struggling with here in the UK is less of a struggle than that. But on the other hand, you know, we don't want to be callous and just say, okay, well, then our struggles are irrelevant. You know, I don't imagine that Jesus would look to someone who's struggling with with depression as a result of COVID and say, you know, pull your trousers up. That's the wrong phrase, isn't it? Pull your bootlaces up or whatever and get on with it, because your life is actually historically very easy. You know, I think he would draw alongside people, and there, you know, there is poverty in the UK in our churches, not that we're struggling with personally, but that people in our churches are struggling with, and there is a real sense of struggle at the moment that's very real for people. So yes, following Jesus, and I think what really stings about this is, you know, it doesn't feel like these struggles are a result of following Jesus, because everyone's going through them in the world at the moment. Everyone is suffering as a result of COVID. And so I think there's almost part of us that wants to say, you know, if we were suffering as a result of our faith, then that would be good in some ways, right? Because we see that in the New Testament, it's suffering for Christ is, you know, it is considered a privilege. But, you know, we can't really... It's hard to say that, isn't it? Because it doesn't feel like we are suffering for Christ. This just feels like a needless kind of suffering that's been imposed on everyone.
Yeah.
And that's... Yeah, that's tricky, isn't it? You know, we can't claim monopoly on the suffering at the moment. So maybe there's a lesson there as well.
Mm.
That actually everyone is struggling with this. People of all faiths and none.
Have you been doing some sort of real study at the moment on the Book of Exodus, haven't you?
Mm.
I'm just interested if anything kind of stands out from, especially the kind of the passages about Israel in the desert, you know, nomadic people travelling without a home in that kind of wilderness season. If anything stands out about that in your personal life. And also the kind of the context that we're in at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, so I think what's really striking about Exodus is the Israelites are in slavery in Egypt, and then they are set free from that, and there's the parting of the Red Sea and that amazing miracle. And I almost see that. I mean, you have to be a little bit careful about drawing a straight line between that and us, but there is a definite parallel between that and you know, becoming a Christian nowadays, in that we were in slavery to our sin,
yeah,
and now that we follow Jesus, he has set us free from that. And there's that kind of initial euphoria, there's that parting of the Red Sea moment, which I think is what you mentioned in a lot of people's testimonies. You know, they finish on the parting of the Red Sea, and that's great, and we're now through the Red Sea and out of slavery. Brilliant. But then yeah, we need to talk about, well, actually, where have we gone to now? Because we're not in the Promised Land yet, are we?
Yeah.
And I think it's important to be real. You know, the Israelites were in, well, it was 40 years, wasn't it?
Yeah,
in the desert. You know, best part of a human lifetime in the desert. And yes, they had tastes of the Promised Land. You know, they had the manna, which is, you know, tastes like honey, and they're told they're going to a land flowing with milk and honey. So yes, they've got this kind of foretaste of the good that's to come. And similarly, I think now we have a foretaste of heaven and the new creation. Now we do experience God's goodness in wonderful ways, and yes, we are living life to the full in following Jesus, and we have amazing the church at its best is just a magnificent thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, where else do you see people of all backgrounds, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ? I mean, it's a miracle. So we get glimpses of that. But then we're also shattered when it goes wrong, and we see, you know, there it's tough. You know, we're not living in heaven at the moment. We're living in this kind of this wilderness space of long periods of it feeling like God isn't speaking at all, and long periods of just kind of getting along with it, and it being really testing.
Yeah.
And I think that's, yeah, we are in the wilderness at the moment, and it's particularly acutely in this pandemic, but actually until Jesus comes again, we are in this state.
Completely. I mean, when I talk about those kind of testimonies, I mean, I've done that myself. In fact, you know, the very first episode of this podcast, I kind of, if I listen back to that, I sort of think, oh, I probably wouldn't say that in the same way now. It's fascinating how even like in a year and a half, your faith evolves, doesn't it, and grows and hopefully matures. But yeah, I probably wouldn't just end with kind of, you know, my life's completely transformed and I'm living out of the fullness of Christ, because that is true, that's completely true. But I think it's important, and I think people who aren't Christian or who are maybe searching want to know. I think people crave authenticity, don't they? I think they want to know, you know, what's it like when actually life isn't going well. And I think that's where real, you know, that's where endurance comes from. That's where perseverance grows. And that's where, yeah, a different kind of faith, maybe a more mature kind of faith, can grow as well. And I think that's the encouragement of times like that. But it's not easy in the moment. And I think, yeah, I think I'm kind of in that place at the moment of just real, yeah, it feels like a wilderness. Feels tough. Feels really, really tough. And that's okay. You know, God is still good. And I still believe that. And I still hold to that, even on days when maybe I don't feel it, because feelings can be deceptive, can't they?
Mm.
But actually, I know, I hold that as a truth, because I read it in the Bible, I see it in the person of Jesus, and I understand it by the work of the Holy Spirit, that God is good, God is faithful, God is glorious and great.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that life is always going to be glorious and great and wonderful and a bed of roses. Quite the opposite.
I mean, that's a prosperity gospel, isn't it?
Yeah.
You see in the book of Job, when, you know, Job, this righteous man, is suffering, and his friends, they're kind of forced to say, well, Job, you must have done something wrong to warrant this suffering. God has to be punishing you. And there's just no room in their worldview for actually, you know, bad things can happen to good people.
Yeah.
And people, you know, we have, our sins have been justified in Christ, and yet we still, things go wrong in our lives. And to say to someone that if you become a Christian, you'll have this kind of immunity to the suffering in the world, well, that's a lie. To say that suffering won't come your way at all, or that it won't sting as much, that's a lie. I mean, I think if anything, you know, becoming a Christian gives you a deeper sense of pain at the idea of death, because there's just a deep sense of, no, this is not the way things are meant to be.
Yeah.
And sickness as well. And, you know, you see Jesus weeping when his friend Lazarus dies, even though he's about to raise him again. And because in that moment, it's wrong. You know, he dwells in the death in that moment and says, you know what, this is wrong. This is not the way things are meant to be. So, yeah, but we want, our natural instinct is to try and dilute that, isn't it?
Yeah.
When we're sharing the gospel.
Because it feels like the prosperity gospel version is going to work better. And this is such a kind of crazy thing that we tell ourselves, that actually we can kind of... It's idolatry, isn't it? It's us setting ourselves up as God and saying that actually if we spin this in a certain way, God is bigger, you know. God is, yeah, exists outside our own kind of hang-ups and, you know, ways we think about the world. You know, God is real and working in people's lives, and we don't need to kind of blindside people or fake it. I honestly believe, as Christians, we don't need to fake anything. We can live out of truth, because as Christy Mayer said on this podcast, you know, Jesus is truth, God is truth. We believe that as Christians. And it's an invitation, I guess, into that, you know. Yeah, I think, you know, as we maybe start to draw this to a bit of a close, this conversation, the reason why pilgrimage has lodged itself as such a key image for me as a Christian is because this idea of a journey is so powerful. You know, like you say, you know, we're all on a journey, and we believe that the end is not the end of life, but actually extends into eternity. But the journey to get there is full of incredible highs, incredible moments of transcendence and communion with God and with other people, but also incredible lows, incredible valleys, depths of despair and pain and suffering, and also the privilege of entering into other people's pain and suffering and despair. Mm. It's all wrapped up in this pilgrimage. But I think the invitation of a pilgrimage is that we don't need to run and kind of get to the destination straight away, but actually we can put one foot in front of the other and walk gradually in step with God through all of the good times and all of the bad times. And I think that's such a... I mean, I heard someone say that the speed of love is about 3 miles per hour. And that's the kind of typical walking pace, probably the pace that we're walking at right now, actually. And that often we feel like we have to run at 10 miles per hour to get everything done. But that actually Jesus spent most of his time wandering around, fully present to those around him. You know, fully aware of who he was, who his Father in heaven was. And I guess that's the invitation of following him, is to walk at the same pace, to slow down and to just be.
Let's not bypass the wilderness. So that's not what Jesus did.
Yeah.
But he pioneered a path through it, and he asks us to follow him, and he carries us through, doesn't he? But it's a rocky ride. And following Jesus is, you know, we do die. We still die. There is still the death before the resurrection, and there's the rocky path before the death. But yeah, what a journey in Jesus.
What a journey. Thanks, Thomas. That was great to chat to you about all those things.
Having me on the, I feel like I've been on this show a little too often, so thanks for having me back.
Would you be happy to just pray for us and for the listeners, just to close out this episode?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, dear God, we thank you for this time to reflect on who you are, what you have done, what you are doing, and what you promise to do. And we pray for all the listeners of this show, that they will know your presence and your peace, and that, yeah, that we can trust in you in this time, whatever we're going through at the moment. And for some of us, the wounds of this will run deep, but we pray that we will really find our rock in you in this time, and that you will guide us through and keep us safe and deliver us out into that promised land. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Thomas. Thank you, as always, to Johnny Davies for creating the theme music. Thank you, Thomas, for creating the jingles.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Thank you to all of you for listening. There'll be another episode in 2 weeks' time with a bit of an update on this podcast going forward, so don't miss that. If you want to support the podcast further, there's a link in the description where you can buy me a coffee. And I think that's all. Appreciate you. God bless. And I'll speak to you in 2 weeks' time. Bye-bye.